How much did all this cost? I couldn't help but ponder that question. How much, and how long had it taken for the Pagets to find the right pockets? Lucian went next. With no one, Gaddis, Sheriff McNatt, not even poor Hank Hooten, to contradict or possibly throttle him, he launched into a fictional recounting of the facts of the crimes, and in particular, the testimony of an airtight alibi witness, Lydia Vince. His reconstructed version of the trial had the jury wavering on a verdict of not guilty. I was tempted to throw something at him and start screaming. Maybe that would at least keep him somewhat honest. I wanted to shout, "How can he be remorseful if he's so innocent?" Lucian carped on about the trial and how unfair it had been. He nobly took the blame for not pushing hard for a change of venue to another part of the state where folks were unbiased and more enlightened. When he finally shut up, two of the board members appeared to be asleep. Mrs. Paget testified next and talked about the letters she and her son had exchanged these past 8 very long years. Through his letters, she had seen him mature, seen his faith strengthen, seen him long for his freedom so he could serve his fellow man. Serve them a stronger blend of pot, or perhaps a cleaner corn whiskey? Since tears were expected, she gave us some tears. It was part of the show and appeared to have little sway over the board. In fact, as I watched their faces, I got the impression that their decision had been made a long time ago. Danny went last and did a good job of walking the fine line between denying his crimes and showing remorse for them. "I have learned from my mistakes," he said, as if rape and murder were simple indiscretions where no one really got hurt. "I have grown from them." In prison, he had been a veritable whirlwind of positive energy, volunteering in the library, singing in the choral group, helping with the Parchman Rodeo, organizing teams to go into schools and scare kids away from crime. Two board members were listening. One was still asleep. The other two sat in trance-like meditation, apparently brain dead. Danny shed no tears, but closed with an impassioned plea for his release.
"How many witnesses in opposition?" Jeter announced.
I stood, looked around me, saw no one else from Ford County, then said, "I guess it's just me."
"Proceed, Mr. Trainer."
I had no idea what to say, nor did I know what was permissible or objectionable in such a forum. But based on what I had just sat through, I figured I could say anything I damned well pleased. Fat Jeter would no doubt call me down if I ventured into forbidden territory. I looked up at the board members, tried my best to ignore the daggers from the Pagets, and jumped into an extremely graphic description of the rape and the murder. I unloaded everything I could possibly remember, and I put special emphasis on the fact that the two children witnessed some or all of the attack. I kept waiting for Lucian to object, but there was nothing but silence in their camp. The formerly comatose board members were suddenly alive, all watching me closely, absorbing the gruesome details of the murder. I described the wounds. I painted the heartbreaking scene of Rhoda dying in the arms of Mr. Deese and saying it was Danny Paget. It was Danny Paget. I called Lucian a liar and mocked his memory of the trial. It took the jury less than an hour to find the defendant guilty, I explained. And with a recollection that surprised even me, I recounted Danny's pathetic performance on the witness stand, his lying to cover up his lies, his total lack of truthfulness. "He should have been indicted for perjury," I told the board. "And when he had finished testifying, instead of returning to his seat, he walked to the jury box, shook his finger in the faces of the jurors, and said, 'You convict me, and I'll get every damned one of you.'" A board member named Mr. Horace Adler jerked upright in his seat and blurted toward the Pagets,
"Is that true?"
"It's in the record," I said quickly before Lucian had the chance to lie again. He was slowly getting to his feet.
"Is that true, Mr. Wilbanks?"
Adler insisted.
"He threatened a jury?" asked another board member.
"I have the transcript," I said. "I'll be happy to send it to you."
"Is that true?"
Adler asked for the third time. "There were 300 people in the courtroom," I said, staring at Lucian and saying with my eyes, "Don't do it. Don't lie about it." Shut up, Mr. Trainer, a board member said. It's in the record, I said again.
That's enough, Jeter shouted.
Lucian was standing and trying to think of a response. Everyone was waiting. Finally,
I don't remember everything that was said, he began, and I snorted as loudly as possible. Perhaps my client did say something to that effect, but it was an emotional moment, and in the heat of the battle, something like that might have been said. But taken in context.
Context my ass, I yelled at Lucian, and took a step toward him as if I might throw a punch.
A guard stepped toward me and I stopped.
It's in black and white in the trial transcript, I said angrily.
Then I turned to the board and said, How can you folks sit there and let them lie like this? Don't you want to hear the truth?
Anything else, Mr. Trainer? Jeter asked.
Yes. I hope this board will not make a mockery out of our system and let this man go free after 8 years. He's lucky to be sitting here instead of on death row where he belongs, and I hope that the next time you have a hearing on his parole, if there is a next time, you will invite some of the good folks from Ford County, perhaps the sheriff, perhaps the prosecutor. And could you notify members of the victim's family? They have the right to be here, so you can see their faces when you turn this murderer loose. I sat down and fumed. I glared at Lucian Wilbanks and decided that I would work diligently to hate him for the rest of either his life or mine, whichever ended first. Jeter announced a brief recess, and I assumed they needed time to regroup in a back room and count their money. Perhaps Mr. Paget could be summoned to provide some extra cash for a board member or two. To irritate the board attorney, I scribbled pages of notes for the report he'd prohibited me from writing. We waited 30 minutes before they filed back in, everyone looking guilty of something. Jeter called for a vote. 2 voted in favor of parole, 2 against, 1 abstained.
Parole is denied at this time, Jeter announced, and Mrs. Paget burst into tears.
She hugged Danny before they took him away. Lucian and the Pagets walked by very close to me as they left the room. I ignored them and just stared at the floor, exhausted, hungover, shocked at the denial.
Next we have Charles D. Bowie, Jeter announced,
and there was movement around the tables as the next hopeful was brought in. I caught something about a sex offender, but I was too drained to care. I eventually left the room and walked down the hallway, half expecting to be confronted by the Pagets, and that was fine too, because I preferred to get it over with. But they had scattered. There was no sign of them as I left the building and drove through the main gate and back to Clanton.